Thank you, Brother Dallas. Appreciate that. For those folks who were looking for reading plans for this year, for the read through your Bible, we should have enough out there. As far as I know, we made some more of these. I think we have enough, both chronological and regular biblical order. So I want to encourage you to pick those up, and we'll have a good year this year. Keep our nose in the book. Brother Boltz, want to come on up here in a second. And we are privileged to have Brother Ray Boltz there in Guyana and South America. And he's got a whole family here. I'm going to let him do all the introductions here. And Brother Boltz was with us here. Well, it's been several years ago. And Lord's done some great things while they've been away. And he's going to come and share some things and share a little bit about the work and preach for us. And I appreciate it. Don't usually have two missionaries in a row here like this, but just the way the guys were coming through town here. We had one last week as well. But I think it'll be a blessing to you. So I appreciate him being here. Give us what's on your heart.
All right. Thank you, Pastor. Well, good evening. It is good to be back here in Dover. We appreciate being back here. We are from Pennsylvania. We're born and raised in Pennsylvania, up in Lebanon County. And I want to introduce my family at this time before I forget that and get in trouble. This is my wife, Kim, my son, Justin, Jessica, Kimberly, and Kevin. And then the contrary one sitting that wouldn't stand for us is my mother-in-law. She lives in Myerstown. And she came and she's with us for the day. We're going to be headed out to Oklahoma through the night here. And so she came and spent the day with us. And afterwards, if you asked her, she'll tell you I'm her favorite son-in-law. And she'll also tell you I'm her only son-in-law. So I have to be the favorite. So, but it's good to have her with. It's always a pleasure traveling with her. And she makes our day. And then we have two older children, my son Ryan, my oldest son Ryan, and his wife and two girls are serving the Lord full-time in Eufaula, Oklahoma at Calvary's Baptist Ministries. And my oldest daughter, Rochelle, and her husband, TJ, and their twins, they surrendered to Guyana, and they just started deputation last summer. So keep them in prayer as they're out on the road trying to raise support and get down there to Guyana to help us. And we are excited what the Lord is doing. As Pastor said, we were here a couple years ago. We ended up going to Guyana in 2012. We were there for a short time. We started a children's home. We had three children in our home. And we were there for a short time, and the government called me and said I had 30 days to leave the country. They weren't going to allow us to stay, so we came back, and we remained faithful to the Lord. You know, a lot of Christians today, they'll run into a trial like that and they'll quit. I could have easily came back and said, Lord, that was enough for me being out there in that jungle and it didn't work out. I tried, but I'm going to just stay in a local church and don't do that again. But you know, the Lord laid on my heart, He has a greater yes. And He also has the perfect plan and the perfect timing. And it wasn't His timing or His plan to be there. Because as if any of you remember, in 2012 when we went there, we were just going to strictly start a children's home and work with a local pastor there with a children's home. And over the last time here in the States, out preaching and that, the Lord laid on my heart to be a pastor. And we're going to go there and we're going to start a church. And then we'll start the children's home after that. And I'm just excited what the Lord's doing. We're going to have a Christian school and eventually we'll have a youth camp. We have obtained 25 acres, which you'll see on our DVD, and I'll get into that after the DVD. At this time, I want to share the DVD, and then I'll give you an update, and then we'll get into God's Word. Be a piano there.
Mm-hmm. Hi, we are Ray and Kim Bolts, and together with our four children, Kimberly, Jessica, Kevin, and Justin, we are called to go.
Our oldest daughter, Rochelle, and her husband, TJ, and their twins, Braden and Brooklyn, are also called to Guyana. They are on deputation to raise support to team up with us as soon as possible.
We are called to plant our first Lighthouse of Hope Baptist Church in the village of Kuru Kuru, just 50 minutes south of the capital city of Georgetown and 10 minutes from the international airport. We also want to start a children's home out of this work because we have a special place in our hearts for children who are in need of love and a home. Since families are so far from God, and with Guyana being a third world country, most live in below poverty conditions, resulting in many children being orphaned or abandoned so parents can go and find work wherever possible. We wish it weren't so, but it's true, and we want to make a difference. We want to train up men from our church and boys from the home to carry out Acts 1:8 and go and plant more churches, not just in Guyana, but in the uttermost parts of the earth as well.
While they're young, we want to show them that Jesus wants to open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins.
We are sent out of First Baptist Church of Ocoee, Florida with Pastor George Harris through Baptist Missions to Forgotten Peoples. For the past 15 years since our salvations, Kim and I have served the Lord in various capacities in the local church, and it wasn't long before we surrendered to full-time ministry. We started with abandoned, orphaned, or neglected children through foster care in our home in the state of Pennsylvania, then as house parents at Hope Children's Home in Tampa, Florida, then as volunteers at Lighthouse Girls Home in Jay, Florida. In 2007, we answered the call to Guyana, South America. After a survey trip there in 2008, we began the pre-field ministry process, or deputation as some may know it, and finishing our Bible college at Salt Lake Baptist College. After 3 years, we raised our support, and in January of 2012, we left for Guyana. While waiting on our working visas to be issued, I had the privilege to preach in several churches and in public school and at a youth rally. Altars were full many times. We led 9 people to the Lord, and 12 young people surrendered to serve the Lord full time. After 90 days, we were told our work visas were declined and we had to leave the country. This was devastating news, but we knew God had a plan. We came back and sought the Lord and kept busy serving Him. He never changed our hearts from Guyana and the people there. In fact, the burden grew stronger. Because of a few changes in the visa laws and with the help from new contacts within the government, we are going to return in mid-August and team up with a national pastor, Noel Shribnoff.
To these suffering ones, I'll go.
We got to go back to Guyana in the summertime, and we've been down there serving the Lord. We saw many come to the Lord and accept Christ as Savior and baptisms and joining the church. And we were working with the four churches down there that were associated with Pastor Shrivenoff. And as you saw our land there, the 25 acres, it's a lot of jungle, and it'll take some time to clear it and prepare it. And in Guyana, you got to put a fence around wherever you're going to build, or you won't have what you're building left when you come back the next day. So because of that time frame, I was praying to the Lord about what to do as we're developing that land before the church could be open there. And the Lord laid on my heart a village of Parika, and through Pastor Shrivenoff. And we have a young man who surrendered to be a pastor, and he's going to be working with me in this village. And when we get back there, we're leaving the third week of February to go back to Guyana. And then we'll be in Parika the month of March, going around door knocking, inviting people. And then on April 5th, we're going to have our first service at Harbor Light Baptist Church. And this young man's going to work side by side with me most of the time. And our prayer is that he'll be ready. And in 2 years, we'll turn Parika Church over to him. And then we'll move over to our land and start the second church, which will be our first church named Lighthouse of Hope Baptist Church. We'll build a children's home on that property eventually and a Christian school, and then we eventually want to do a youth camp if the Lord provides. There's not a single youth camp in Guyana to have the children come to in the summertime. So the Lord's given me a greater yes, and I'm excited what the Lord's doing. We did go down, and our main goal this trip that we were down there was to get our permits. And after a little bit of hassle and lost paperwork and time sitting in an office, they did submit us our permits, and we're good to go and stay there and start this work. So we'll be leaving February 17th. Keep us in prayer for that. And we'll be loading a container. We need to get a few things together for the church. And hopefully we can get the container loaded the first week of February and send it off. And then two other things, and we'll get into the message. Jessica graduated from high school last year, and she wanted to spend a year with us down in Guyana and that. And she will be coming back in fall to attend Heartland Baptist Bible College. So keep her in prayer there. She likes to worry a little bit about finances. And I told her if the Lord called her there, the Lord will provide. And then also Kimberly wrote a book. She's asking $7 for it. But unfortunately, she sold out. So we're getting our next shipment of books this week, but you can get one. She'll send it to you if you'd like to ask her more about it. The book is titled "Here, There, Seems Like Everywhere: Being a Missionary Kid in the Heart in the Eyes of a Teenager," and it's about her travels on deputation and her first trip down to Guyana. And so, if you would be interested or would like to know more information about the book or how to get it when she gets it back in stock, just see Kimberly after the service, and she'll be glad to talk to you about it. And we're excited what the Lord's doing through that as well. So we have the display board set up back there with our prayer cards and pictures and things from Guyana. And please stop by after the service and grab a prayer card and ask any questions you like. And finally, I told you in 2012 we started children's home, and we had three children there: Chio, Charlene, and Chris. And while we were down there this time, we got in touch with all three of them. And we made arrangements. They will be coming to live with us as soon as we get settled in Parika, and we'll have them with us and schooling them. Keep them in prayer. I'll never forget the night I told them we had to leave the country. We saw three children cry for quite a while. And especially keep Chris in prayer. Chris was 14 years old when we had to leave. He was saved and surrendered to be a pastor, and I love to tell this story. He was going to school, and he would take his Bible to school, and one day he came home, and he said, "Brother Ray, you got to help me." And I said, "What do you need?" He goes, "The seven-day Adventist pastor was in school today, and he was telling us stuff, and I was sharing him with Scripture, and he'd change the subject and go to something else, but he's coming back tomorrow, and I need more ammunition. I need more Bible. Will you help me get some things ready?" And he was all ready for it. But when we left, he went back into the city and hung out with some bad friends and has gone wayward. And we've talked to him and made contact. We sort of got him back into church part-time. He's not going like we like to, but we got him back in school. He actually quit school. He is going to school. And you know, we were there, and we were with him for about 2.5 out of the 3 months we were down there. We were with him. We got to have dinner with him and talk to him and see him and do things with him. And he didn't really talk about why he did what he did. But then finally he admitted that he was mad at God because for weeks he prayed to God to have our permits because he finally had a home. And God didn't answer that prayer. And he was mad at God. And he still is communicating with us while we're here, and pretty much every day we hear from him. But I truly believe his biggest thing right now is to see if we show up in Guyana. So when we get back there in Guyana, we've asked him to come live with us. He's living with an aunt right now, and the aunt is all behind us and would like him to come and live with us. So we're praying for all that. So keep Chris in prayer, because I know how Chris was. I know he's saved, and I know he surrendered to be a pastor, and I know he can do great things in Guyana. We just got to get him back on track, and God can still use him. God's not done with him if he lets God work in his heart. And so keep him in prayer as well. If you have your Bibles, if you would turn to John chapter 3. And thank you again for allowing us to come and share our burden and our calling to the people of Guyana. Thank you, Pastor, for allowing me to bring a message tonight. It's a great honor and privilege to be up here. And it was funny, I was coming to the church tonight, and as you're turning in there, when you have your spot, if you would stand, I was coming, and my daughters remembered this church from the last time we were here, but they didn't remember the pastor's name. And my one daughter said, "Who's the pastor?" And I told her his name, and she's like, "Wow, I'm reading his book right now." So, and she likes the book. So, so we're excited to be here tonight, and thank you so very much. And if you would stand for the reading of God's Word. John chapter 3, and I'm going to start in verse 30, and that is our key verse, a short verse, but I believe a very important verse. John chapter 30, the Bible says, "He must increase, but I must decrease. He that cometh from above is above all. He that is of the earth is earthly and speaketh of the earth. He that cometh from heaven is above all. And what he hath seen and heard, that he testifieth, and no man receiveth his testimony. He that hath received his testimony hath set to his seal that God is true. For he whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God, for God giveth not the Spirit of measures unto him. The Father loveth the Son, and hath given all things into his hand. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." Let's pray. Dear Lord, our Heavenly Father, we just come to you and we give you thanks that we could open your word and look at your word here, Lord. It's your words, not mine. Lord, help me to deliver the message the way you'd want me to. Lord, I pray that if there's one here that does not know Christ as Savior, that tonight would be the night that he accepted Christ as Savior and have heaven as his home. And Lord, for the Christian, Lord, this message is driven towards the Christian more. And I pray, I don't know how you'll speak to the hearts tonight, but Lord, I pray that we would not be hearers of the word only with our ears, but with our heart. And Lord, as you speak to and touch the people's hearts with your words, I just pray at the end that they would obey and respond. And Lord, we want to just come to you and thank you for your Son. Thank you for sending him for us. And we ask all these things in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. If you look at these verses, at verse 36, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not on the Son shall not see life." You know, we're starting a new year here. And as I said, the key verse is 30, "He must increase, but I must decrease." A question to you tonight, church, is what are you going to do for Jesus Christ in 2015? Will you do more this year than you've ever done before for Jesus Christ? for our Heavenly Father. The first thing, and I will talk to you tonight about the basics. Getting back to the basics. Sometimes I believe we as Christians get involved in ministries, get involved in things, and we forget the basics. Pastors can't forget their personal relationship with Christ. It's not just about their ministry, their personal relationship with Christ comes first. Same as missionaries, same as Sunday school teachers, ushers, junior church workers. Your relationship with Christ needs to be first. And so many in today's world, if they do a ministry, if they're involved in a ministry, so many get involved in their ministry, they forget their first love. They forget the priority, and that's their personal relationship with Jesus Christ. We need to get back to the basics. I think of an army. You know, if you join the army or the Air Force or any armed forces, you go to basic training. You know, and I was told one time by a soldier that they take their guns apart so many times and put them back together, they can do it blindfolded. But, you know, when they go into combat, they don't forget the basic training. They need to know how to use their weapon. They need to be in shape. And that's how we are as Christians. We can't forget the basics, and so many times we forget to do the basics. But if you're lost tonight and don't know Jesus Christ as Savior, I don't want to have a message that I don't invite you to come and join God's family. It's easy. It really is. You need to repent of your sin. Tell God you are a sinner and you've done wrong. Believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross because He did. And ask Him into your heart. And believe that He did that. And you're saved. And once you're saved, you're part of God's family. And then you can begin basic training. But for the Christian, there's so many Christians today that don't even do the basic trainings anymore. They put it aside. They don't even touch it. Too many Christians today come on a Sunday morning, and that's good enough for them. Too many Christians come maybe on a Sunday night, Wednesday night, and that's good enough for them. But you know, when you're in here, it's easy to talk the talk and walk the walk. But when we need to do it is out there in the world. Man, what a blessing to hear people join the church. What a blessing to hear kids saved and people saved. What a blessing to see the growth of this church. 356 this morning. Where's the rest of them tonight? But you know, you're doing a great work, and I don't know who's doing the work. I hope everybody's doing their part. But it is work to grow a church. And it's not just the pastor's job. It's not just the pastor's job to do it. If you're a Christian tonight, it's your part as well. And in 2015, what will you do for Jesus Christ? Let's go to the basics. We need to get back to the basics. And we need to know that everything we do is what God does through us. It's not our strength. I'm a nobody. I just answer God's call to go. And if I go to Guyana and try to do something on my strength, I guarantee you I'm going to mess it up. Just like anybody else. We got to realize that when we surrender to serve the Lord, when we're in God's family, we got to let Him lead us and let Him work through us, because it's all about Him. It's not about us. It's all about Him. And too many Christians today also try to do it on their own strength. You know, I have a message. I'm not preaching that one tonight, but, you know, one of my points is we need to surrender and then serve. We need to go to Isaiah 6:8 and say, "Here am I, Lord, send me." The Lord wants your life. The Lord wants your things. He wants you to surrender it all to Him. He might not take it from you. He might allow you to have it, but He wants to know your heart, that you would be willing to give it up if He called you, or if He asked you to do something that you need to give up. He wants you to be able to give up college football on a Saturday afternoon to go out and work on a bus ministry if he calls you to the bus ministry. He wants to have you give up certain things so you would work in the ministry if you're willing. He wants you to surrender. He might not do it. He might not call any of you away from this church. But he wants to know your heart if you would go. With a crowd like this, I'm sure there's somebody in here that might be called to go to a foreign land. Would you go? All these things that we're talking about don't come together if you fall from the basics. Because if you fall from the basics, you're falling away from Jesus Christ and your personal relationship with him. And let's look at these basics. I have four of them I want to share with you tonight. The first one is prayer. How's your prayer life? Matthew 6:6 talks about going into the closet, being by yourself, and spending time with the Lord. Do you do that? Do you go into the closet to go off to the side and turn off your cell phones, turn off your laptops, turn off your iPads and tablets, turn off the TV, get away from everyone and go to the Lord and spend quality time with Him? He wants that. You know, my wife and I pray together, and my family prays together. But my children are taught that prayer that we have together isn't enough for them. They need to have their own personal time with the Lord in prayer. And the best time to do it is in the morning, so you can start your day off right. I was at a conference one time, and the one preacher was preaching, and I love it, and I practice this now. He said, before my feet even hit the ground, all I do is thank the Lord for letting me wake up and have another day. Man, what a way to start your day. Thanking the Lord for waking up and having another day. But then you go into your time and get closer to the Lord. And we a lot of people will say, we don't have time to spend like that. We don't have time not to spend like that. We need to be on our knees praying and seeking the Lord and what He wants us to do. That's one of the basics we need to do. But not only do we need to be in the prayer closet, we need to, 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. We need to have a prayerful attitude. We need to be going to the Lord first all the time. Do we go to the Lord? I love to share it, and we have some kids in the service tonight. I love to share this example. When you're at school and you're ready to take a test, before the test starts, do you ask the Lord to help you? And then while you're in the test and you come to a problem and you don't forget how to do it or you forget the answer, do you ask the Lord to help you? Remember that so you can move on. And then at the end of the test, when you turn it in, do you thank the Lord for allowing you to take the test and getting it over with, no matter what the result? That's the kind of attitude we all should have when it comes to prayer. But back home, when I was working at the children's home down in Tampa, we would go to this one church. The home went to the church as a home, and we'd have Sunday school class, and there was one gentleman in there. His name was Ryan, and he told us this story one time in testimony time. He said, you know, he goes, I'm out there doing my job. He has his own business. He sets up projectors and that for businesses at hotels to have their meetings and that. And he rents the stuff, and he goes around. He said he was going around doing his daily work, and this gentleman came up to him, a good friend of his from years past. And he said, Ryan, I know you're a Christian. And he went through the problem, and he said, would you pray for me? I know you're a Christian, and God will listen to you. And Ryan said, sure, I'll pray for you. And they went their own separate ways. A couple weeks later, Ryan's back out there doing his job, and here comes this friend again. And this friend had a big smile on his face, and he said, Ryan, I just want to thank you for praying. I want to thank you for praying. God answered your prayers. And Ryan just sort of stuttered through it, and they departed, and Ryan just hung his head because he said he forgot to pray. Now, I don't know if somebody else prayed for this gentleman, but I know our Heavenly Father, and I believe our Heavenly Father left that situation happen to remind Ryan that he needs to be in a prayerful attitude. And Ryan said, you know what, guys? I commit it to the Lord. I don't care if I'm in a Walmart or where. if somebody comes up to me and says, I need prayer, would you pray for me? We're going to pray right on the spot. And that's what we need to do. And then he pulled out a tablet in his pocket. And he said, I write it down so I don't forget it. How's your prayer life? How's your prayer life? Do you spend intimate time with the Lord? Quality alone time with the Lord, getting closer to Him? Do you have that prayerful attitude where you're dependent on Christ? The second basic thing that we need to stick to is devotion. We need to get into God's Word. He gave us this book for a reason. And it's not to collect dust on a bookshelf. It's to learn what He wants. It's His words to us. Man, this is great. Read the Bible through for a year. Great thing. We do it. But that's not the only thing. We need to study God's Word. Turn to 2 Timothy 2:15. I'm going to flip through some verses here, and a lot of them will be familiar to you, but I want to share them. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15 says this. It says, study to show thyself approved unto God. God wants you to study His Word. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. If we're going to do what God wants us to do, we need to know His Word. I can read a verse 1,000 times, and that 1,001st time I read it, He shows me something new. But He wants your heart into His study. We need to study God's Word. Are you just reading a chapter or a verse and just setting it to the side and saying, well, Lord, there's my Bible reading for today. I'll see you tomorrow morning and move on. We need to be in God's Word continually. And that brings us to my next part of the devotion is we need to memorize God's Word. Because that way we can be in His Word. Psalms 119 says that he hid the word in his heart that he might not sin against God. And that is so true. When you have God's word in your heart, I know before I was saved, things I did didn't even bother me. Oh, my thought life was, oh, that doesn't keep me out of heaven. I'm good enough to go to heaven. Because I had the head knowledge of Jesus Christ, but I never had a relationship. But boy, when I got that relationship and I started memorizing some verses and reading God's Word, when I went out there and if I fell short of God's glory, I knew He was telling me I just messed up. And that's what He does. And we memorize God's Word. But not only not that we don't sin against it, there might come a day that we need to know God's Word because we can't carry God's Word. But we can still share it if we have it in our heart. And then we need to meditate on it. Joshua 1:8, the Bible says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. We need to meditate. God's Word needs to be saturated in our heart and mind daily. We need to be thinking on God's Word. We need to be relying on God to lead us. And too many times we give Him a short time, walk away, and forget all about God. So many times Christians will come in here, and after they leave here, tomorrow when you're at work, nobody will even know you're a Christian because you don't live a life of a Christian. You live the life of the world. How's your prayer life? How's your devotion with God? Do you spend enough time with the Lord? 2015, if we're going to do more for the Lord, if He's going to increase and we decrease, we need to be on our knees and in His Word. But not only do we have to read God's Word, not only do we have to study God's Word and memorize and meditate on it. We need to live it. When we learn something in God's Word, when God shows us something, whether it's through the preaching or your own study, you need to go out there and live it and be the example. You know, we go out there today and, you know, I share tracts. I share thousands of tracts in Guyana. And I've only ever had two people turn me down. And you'll go up one side of the street and you'll come down the other side of the street handing out tracts and talking to people, and you'll look across and they aren't on the ground. They're sitting there reading the tracts. We go to door knocking here in the States. I know how it is. I've done it. And we get doors slammed, and we get people, you can hear them talking. I was soul winning not too long ago with our sending church when we first came back, and we went up this one street, and I bet you 75% of the houses, we could hear people in the houses, and nobody would even come to the door. And then I was walking back to the van, and I saw Jehovah Witness going down the next street. That just answered my question. Why they weren't answering the door. Because they were out. But we can't quit. We got to keep on knocking. We got to keep on going. We'll have doors slammed. We'll have people not answer the door. We'll have tracts thrown at us. But we got to keep on going. We got to be the example. We got to live. You know, as you have all that, you think, boy, we have the greatest gift of all. It was the greatest day of my life when I accepted Christ as Savior. And you know, as you accept Christ as Savior, if you live a life that's pleasing to the Lord, wouldn't it be nice if somebody would come up to you and say, what do you have? I want it. And that's how we should live as Christians. Even through trials, we should be joyous because of our salvation. But we don't. We don't live God's Word. We need to live God's word when we're out there in the world. People need to see us being different, but different in love, different in a good way, that they come to us and want what we have. How's your walk with the Lord? How's your prayer time? How's your devotion? How is it when you're out there, does people know that you're different, that you're a Christian? And then the third one is church. Boy, so many people make excuses why they don't have to come to church. I had a lady not too long ago tell me that she won't go to church. She does it at home, or she does it with a group of people because all the church is full of hypocrites. Well, she's right. Most hypocrites. Most churches have their gossipers, their murmurers, the ones that try to not do what they're supposed to do. But you know, if you turn to Hebrews 10, and we want to look at two verses in Hebrews 10. The first one is verse 24. Hebrews 10, verse 24. Hebrews 10, 24 says, "And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works." And then it goes on in 25, it says, "Not forsaking the assembly of oneself together, ourselves together, as a manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching." We're not supposed to forsake the assembling of God, our church. We're supposed to be here. And yes, we need to come here and praise our Lord and Savior with song. We need to come here and praise our Lord in many other ways and worship Him. And yes, church isn't church unless the Word of God is preached. But you know what? There's more to that than just those things. God says it right here. We as church, Christ's church, are supposed to come in here and provoke each other. Provoke each other. Not in gossiping, and not in murmuring, and not in church splits. But the Bible says we're supposed to provoke in love and good works. And then the next verse, it says that we're supposed to exhort. When we come into church, we should expect each other to be lifting each other up and encouraging others to go and continue their fight against the world. But today, too many people come into church and they complain about the color of the wall. Oh, the pastor wants to paint it that color? Or if you're in a remodel, I've heard it. The color of the pews. The color of the carpet. Oh, I can't believe somebody parked in my parking spot. How about this one? I'm a missionary. I walk into a church. My family sits down. I'm standing. Usually when I come into a church, if I'm in the sanctuary and church hasn't started and my family's already sitting, I'll usually stand up, and as people walk in, I'll shake their hand. I had this lady come up to me in a church. She walks up to me. She's an older lady. Bless her heart. She says, I sat in that pew for 28 years. I'll sit behind you today, but I just want to let you know that that's my pew. Now, as a missionary, I know that happens. And I expect that to happen in churches because that's the way churches are today, unfortunately. But what if it would have been a guest? Somebody lost. Do you think that person would listen to the gospel preached? That person would be thinking the whole time, I'm not coming back to this church. You know, we aren't supposed to look at the person and say, if somebody walks in there right now, all tattooed up and all earringed up, he came in here for a reason. And we as Christians need to love him or her. And we can't go there and say, oh, you can't come in this church like that. Back at a church in Florida, When I was still at the home at the church I was going to, Southside, there was a young man that came in. He came in every Sunday morning. And as he came in every Sunday morning, he was in flip-flops. He was in shorts. He finally got saved. He continued to come in flip-flops and shorts. And I wasn't there for a couple weeks. I would go out with the home, and we came back, and he was all dressed up one week. And I said, boy, you look sharp. And he goes, you know, he goes, you guys love me the way I dressed. I got saved, and you guys love me the way I dressed. You've never told me I had to change. He goes, but I listen to God's word, and I listen to the men of, I watched the men of God in this church, and I saw they were different. And I went to them, and then when I asked, they told me. And I need to dress up for the Lord. Not for them, for the Lord. We need to encourage, lift up people, get them on fire, and get them back out there sharing the gospel. We can't come in here murmuring and gossiping. And the last one that I'm going to share quickly, and I'm going to close with a story, is we need to share the gospel. It's not just the pastor's job. It's everybody's job. You say, oh, Brother Baltz, I can't go out there and share tracts. I can't talk. I don't know the Bible good enough that I can share that. Well, you got to get to the point. If you get to the basics, God's going to help you and strengthen you to do it. But don't stop. We need to hand out tracts. Tracts work. And I close with this story, sharing the gospel. There was a young lady. She was a waitress for years. She would get tracts. For many years, she would take the track, crumble it up, and throw it away. Keep the money. Then she started reading them. She read many of them. Actually, waitresses made fun of her, told her to throw them away and keep the money. So she started sticking them in her pocket. And then she was reading, and one day, she got saved. She doesn't know who gave her those tracts. Nobody spoke to her about the gospel with those tracts. She doesn't know if it was a man or a woman or a child. But one day that person will. And then she went home and she shared the gospel with her husband, and her husband finally got saved. Then their kids started getting saved. Then they surrendered to full-time ministry and they served the Lord. And then they got called to a foreign mission field. And they went. Now some of their kids are serving the Lord full time. Others are getting prepared to serve the Lord full time. And that track that saved that waitress was my wife. Because of one track. Tracks work. Share the gospel. Let's pray. with every head bowed and every eye closed as Pastor comes, I'm going to pray and turn the invitation over to Pastor. Let's pray. Dear Lord, our Heavenly Father, I just come to You and thank You so much for this opportunity to share Your words. And Lord, I just pray now that You would just speak to the people and that they would obey and respond as I said in the beginning. Lord, if there's one here that's not saved, Lord, I pray that they would come forward and accept Christ as Savior. And Lord, for the Christian, I don't know how You spoke to them, but Lord, I pray that You would just work in their hearts. And we ask all these things in Christ's precious name. Amen.
Our eyes are closed. Let's stay.